Yesterday, I had the privilege of playing Santa Claus for a group of autistic children. There were about 30 children that came through. I was a little nervous, to be honest with you, going into it. Wasn't sure what was going to happen, but it really was a wonderful experience. It was a beautiful experience. I learned a lot about children with special needs, and it was a great time. And so thank you again, church, for allowing us to do that. That's the second year that we've done that event. First year for me playing Santa Claus, but it's a great event, and so I hope that we continue to do it in the near future. Interesting, though, toys have become somewhat more sophisticated than when I was a kid. So, you know, when we went to Santa Claus, it was bikes or skateboards or basketballs or trucks or something like that. And repeatedly, the kids kept asking, I'd say, so what do you want Santa to bring you for Christmas? And they would say, a Switch. And I thought, a Switch? Now, if I asked for a Switch, that meant my bottom was getting hurt. But these kids were all excited about a Switch. Turns out it's a Nintendo Switch, which I still don't even know what it is. But I had to, it was a steep learning curve. Some of the things they ask me for, I'd just look at their parents, and then their parents would have to explain to me what they were. But it was a great, great experience. My family tells me that I am a very difficult person to buy presents for. I hear that every year. I don't understand it because I think I'm pretty easy to buy for, but they say that it's difficult to know what to get me. So they always ask me every year, what do you want for Christmas? And I tell them the same thing. I just want my family to be together and for us to just have a wonderful day together. And every year we do, but they expect more in the way of a list from me than what I give them. However, every year I receive gifts. Every year I enjoy the gifts, I like the gifts, I appreciate the gifts. So I don't really think it's a big deal. But apparently, it is. We saw in the movie clip that Ralphie's mom asked him, what do you want for Christmas? And he blurted out that he wanted a Red Ryder BB gun. Now, a little bit of a pastoral counseling here. The appropriate age for a Red Ryder BB gun for any child is 4. So, 4. What was that, Judy? What? 4. I think, you know, every kid should grow up knowing how to shoot a gun. As a matter of fact, I bought several guns for my family members. I'm just kidding. I think 4 is a little young. But anyways, some of you looked at me in horror. But I bought guns for all of my family members, except for my mother-in-law, because I was afraid she might use it on me. But I have purchased guns for everybody in my family. And so that's partly why I like that movie, that I can empathize with that struggle of wanting a BB gun and your parents saying, no, you're too young. God tells us to ask, to make a list. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11, it says this, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" God wants you to ask. Says so. His son, Jesus, told us so. Ask. Not only did he say to ask, but he said to ask and to seek and to knock. So we see, first of all, that this is a command to obey. A command to obey. Ask, seek, knock. They are verbs and they are imperative verbs. They are commands. We are commanded to ask, commanded to seek, and commanded to knock. In the New Testament, there are two basic types of imperatives, and so I'm going to tell you a little bit more than I actually know. But first is, there is the aorist imperative, which is a command to do a particular thing at one specific time. So it's just a command to do something, and then there's no expectation that it will reoccur. There's no time limit. There's just an aorist imperative or a command for a specific time. And then letter B, there's the present imperative, which is a command to do something indefinitely. In other words, it's something that you will continue to do. There is no stop. And in the original Greek, these verses have the present imperative. They will not stop. Let me give you an example in our English of these imperatives. First would be to take out the garbage. That is an aorist imperative. It's a one-time thing. Well, we know it occurs every week, and if your house is really messy, it may occur all the time. But for the sake of this discussion, an aorist imperative, take out the garbage, and once the garbage is out, you are done. But then we might use a present imperative, which is take care of yourself. Now, they're both the same word, take, but one has the idea that it is continually ongoing. You don't say to someone, take care of yourself today, and tomorrow I don't care. You say, take care of yourself. It is a present imperative, meaning with the meaning being continue to take care of yourself. I care for your well-being. Continue to take care of yourself. Ask, seek, and knock are present imperatives in the original Greek. In other words, it wasn't that you were to just ask one time or seek one time and knock one time, but that you're to continue to ask, continue to seek, and continue to knock. If you interpret this verse with regard to salvation, you might say, well, it's ask, seek, and knock, and God receives you, and so it's, you know, do we need to continue to ask for salvation? No. But in your relationship with God, you are to continue to ask, continue to seek, and continue to knock. It is a command with progressive intensity. We start with asking. Ask is to talk to God in prayer. In the Lord's Prayer, he said, what? Give us this day our daily bread. So it might be our basic needs, our basic concerns, and we ask, we talk to God. We're told to talk to God. In Philippians 4:6-7, it says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Present your requests to God. That is asking. Where does anxiousness occur? It occurs in your mind, right? And in Romans 12:2, it tells us to what? To renew our mind so that we think differently. This verse tells us that when we're anxious, we need to talk to God. I won't ask for a show of hands, but how many of you have ever been anxious? How many of you have ever been repeatedly anxious? How many of you have ever struggled with anxiety? I have. There's a promise here that if we bring our requests to God, that He will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, and that we will have His peace. And so for as often as you are anxious, you need to pray. Do we do that? Do I do that? No. I'm a man, so I don't need to stop and ask directions. I'm going to figure it out on my own. And I often take that approach in prayer, and oftentimes shamefully take that approach in ministry. I can figure it out. I'll make it work. I'll find a solution. I've got this problem. I'll take care of it. Makes me a little nervous, a little stressed out. I'll take care of it. I have a saying in my house. My family repeats it often because whenever I'm presented with a problem, I always say, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. And it's always been all right. But that doesn't mean that I always do it the right way. So God tells us to ask, to be in continual conversation with Him throughout the day. Secondly, we're commanded to seek. And what is seek? Seeking is seeking the will of God in prayer. And Matthew 6, 9 through 10, in the Lord's Prayer says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, it says, Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So if you were to take a period of time and just look up what God's will for you is, any time in Scripture it tells you what God's will is and that you were to do that in prayer, we would be seeking God and we would be seeking the will of God. And those are prayers that God promises that He will answer because He wants to answer those prayers. And so not only are we to ask Him, but we're to seek Him. Is this something that you want for me? Is this something that will benefit me? Is this something that will please you? Seek God in prayer. It's a little higher level of intensity. It indicates a pursuit, a continual pursuit of the will of God. And then third is knock. Knock. And what is implied here is pursuing intimacy with God in prayer. You see, it's like if you were in a house with someone, or even yesterday when I was playing Santa Claus, and not to indicate that Santa Claus is like God in any way. But when the children would come in, they would start at a distance. And sometimes they would ask me something from a distance. I would say to them, so what do you want for Christmas? Because they didn't really know me. They were a little scared, some of them. And so they would say something, and they would say something very quietly, and I could hardly hear what they were saying. And then throughout the course of the time that we were together, they might get a little closer and say it. There was one little girl that really just made my day. She was a petite little blonde-headed girl, And she, I could tell that her parents, her mom, I believe that her mom was single, and that dad was not around, just from the conversation. But she had put on whatever best she had, and she, I could tell that her hair was freshly washed and everything. And she came right in, and I said to her, "Do you want to sit in my lap?" And she said, she didn't say anything. She just climbed into my lap. And I told her, I said, "Oh, you look so pretty today." And I could smell the shampoo, the perfume in the shampoo. And I said, "Oh, your hair smells so good." And she told me, "Yeah, I just washed it." And so we had this conversation. We talked a little bit. And I asked her, I said, "What do you want for Christmas?" And other kids had said things like, you know, "I want the iPhone 15 and whatever. And her request was simple. And among the things that she, one of the things that she asked for was, "I want a new pair of shoes because my shoes are dirty." And so anyway, so I talked to her, and it was just a real enjoyable conversation. And then as we got done, she leaned into me and she whispered, "I love you, Santa." Now, I wanted to go buy that girl every pair of shoes that I could find. I immediately fell in love with that little girl with just the words, "I love you." And I wanted to go grant her request like that. And I think that's actually a picture of what it's like with God. We are running around, we're asking him for things. And then maybe we decide to go seek him, seek where he is, find out where he is. And then we find out that he's in a room by himself, and we knock on the door. And he says, "Come in." And maybe he says, "You want to sit in my lap?" I don't know. But I think God is big enough to let me sit in his lap. And he, "What do you want? What do you want?" Because I think God wants to bless us. Now, I want you to understand, I do not believe in name it and claim it. I do not believe that God is going to answer yes to every prayer that you have. But I do believe that God wants to answer prayer, and he will answer prayer. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, sometimes it's not now. But he will answer prayer. Why? Because he's a good God. And he wants what's best for us. And so just like if my grandson were to come to me and say, "Hey, Papa, I want a hunting rifle," I would say, "No, not now." It's not because I don't want him to have one, but I just know he's not ready. And so at some point, if God allows, I would love to take him hunting, and I would love to buy him his first hunting rifle. Or maybe it's something else. But God knows. He knows us. He knows what we're ready for. And he has the best intentions for us. And sometimes we don't even know what we want. There were a couple of kids that when I asked them, "What do you want for Christmas?" they had no idea. "I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what I want." And so I could see the parents, you know, scrambling through the list of things that they bought them. "Well, do you think you might want?" And they would say something, and, you know, and to some parents' horror, you know, if the kid said no, that meant another trip to the store to take it back. But even when we don't know what we want, God knows. One child that asked for an iPhone 15, I knew that he wasn't going to get one by the look on his mother's face. And I told him, I said, well, you know, Christmas is more than just getting gifts. It's about being with family and being with people that you love. And then he said, yeah, I know I'm not getting one. I said, how do you know? And he said, because I've been bad. Psalm 100, 4 through 5 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. A passage there in Psalm 100 tells us how to enter into his presence, how to knock on the door and be invited in. And it's not necessarily through asking or making requests, but it's about giving thanks and praising God. John 15, 7 through 8, Jesus said it this way, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. If you remain connected to me and I am connected to you and there's this intimacy between us, you're only going to ask things that are pleasing to me, and I'm going to grant those requests because they are within my will, and you know my will because you're connected to me. And then three, it's a promise to claim. In Matthew 7, 8 through 8 and 11, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. If then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? There's a promise there. God's going to grant those requests. But we know that, as we've talked about before, with every promise, there is a premise. God just doesn't give blanket promises without the expectation that we will do something to receive that promise. And the premise is that you will ask, that you will seek, and that you will knock. James 4, 2, the second portion of that verse says, you have not because you ask not. So you say, well, Pastor, how does this work? So let me break that down for you. How many of you ever prayed that God would supply your needs financially? I have. And so we pray that God would meet our needs. Maybe we're short financially and we don't know how we're going to get through the end of the month. Or as some would say, we have more month than we have money. And so we pray, God, help me to get through this month. And that's asking. But what about seeking? So what if, because we've been in this situation more than once, not only would we ask, we would seek. And we would say, God, I'm sensing a pattern here where I'm not able to meet my obligations. So I want to understand what your word has to say about finances. And so we spend some time seeking his word and see what it says about managing our money. And there's a lot in there about managing our money. And so we begin to pursue that and begin to try to get an understanding of how God wants us to live. And then as we begin to do that, we enter into his presence. Why? By how? By being thankful for what we have. But then also by saying to God, I want to be able to use what you have given me to bring honor to you. I don't want it to be just about meeting my monthly needs and obligations and always struggling, but I want to get to the place where I can bless others because I know that's what you want me to do. And so we move into that intimacy with God, trying to understand how he wants us to live. And if we pray that way, he's going to answer that prayer. I'm not saying he's going to make you a millionaire, but he will answer that prayer. Let me share an illustration from my own life. Prayer has always been a struggle for me. I know I'm the only one in this room that can admit that, so I apologize. But it is a struggle. Sometimes I start to pray and I get distracted by other things. And so it's kind of bugged me a little bit. And one of the things I've found recently is that as I've tried to move, last year I told you I was trying to build some margin back into my life. And so I've cut out a number of things that would occupy my time. And I'm trying to bring my life and ministry to kind of to a center point. And so one of the things that the Lord has laid on my heart, in this whole struggle with Shadow Haven and with things that I was doing, I had this conversation with God, and I hope you don't think less of me for sharing this with you, but I didn't want to let it go. But at the same time, I wanted to let it go. And so I felt in conversation with God, him asking me, why don't you want to let it go? And to my shame, I admitted two things. The first was, I'm worried what other people will think. That maybe I'm a failure, maybe, you know, whatever. And the second was this, that I didn't want to disappoint God. And which you say, well, that's a good thing. But what that was coming out of was the fact that I was doing all this to try to win God's approval, to win his favor. And I heard God say to me, I didn't hear it audibly, but just this impression in my spirit, you already have my favor, even if you do nothing. You're my child. I don't have to do anything to earn that. And so, so I really felt God impress upon me for this year. I don't want you to do anything for me. I just want you to be with me. That's hard for me. I'm a doer. I like to do things. So that whole process of being with me certainly involves prayer. And so what does this look like for me? Well, I could simply say, God, help me in my prayer life, which I do. But what's the seeking part? So I've decided that this next year in 2024, I want to know everything that the Bible has to say about prayer. So I'm going to look hard to understand everything the Bible has to say about prayer. Because I'm sure it's in there. I've preached it a few times. But I want to know it. And I want to know the privilege of entering into the presence of God in prayer. I want to have him say, sit on my lap and tell me what you want. And let me tell you what I want for you. And what my will is for your life. Ask, seek, knock. Father God, we pray that we might apply this principle to our lives. That we might truly begin a conversation with you that is never ending. That we might pursue you. That we might knock on the door of your presence and be invited in so that we can have intimate fellowship with you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.